Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Now I want to continue this Read Revelation series that we are now in Revelation chapter 15. In the book of Revelation, like I said in the earlier broadcast, this is the book that God is the author of, the book of Revelation and also the book of Genesis. Who was there when God created Adam and Eve? It was only God that revealed it to Moses, and he wrote it down for us. Now let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 15 and see the rest of the prophecies as we have been revealing. You see that from the book of Revelation chapter 6, actually from chapter 4, we saw the throne of God and what was the plan of God in redeeming mankind, the book that was sealed, that only the Lamb of God could take it and open it. And that was because the Lamb of God is the only one that redeemed mankind. And then, after he began to open the seal, it was actually revealing what will happen from the time of the first church age till the end of the world. We saw the first seal, the second seal, the third and fourth and fifth and the sixth and the seventh seal, which was more like a content page, like I said, of the book itself, telling us what is going to be in this book of Revelation. And then after each seal has been opened, then we came to the seven trumpets, which started the seven angels that have the seven trumpets started to blow their trumpet, and each one blow the trumpet, things happened, which actually symbolized the sounding of the trumpet is representing the preaching of the gospel. And after the gospel, there will be a judgment for the unbelievers. After the gospel has been preached, those that accepted the gospel, they are sealed and protected. Those that refuse the gospel, they are judged and condemned, and the plagues and trouble that follow the world will trouble the world and the mankind of those who don't believe. And then at the seventh trumpet came another seven vials, and this is where we are right now. But in between the seventh trumpet, the Bible said, as we get to chapter 10 of the book of Revelation, he said the mighty angel came down. Now he has opened all the seals up to the seventh seal. So it's now no more a sealed book, now an open book in the hand of the mighty angel that came down in the book of Revelation chapter 10. Now it was now a little book open, which was given to Apostle John in that vision to eat it up. And the Bible said in that, as the mighty angel was sounding, he said in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, will be completed, so to speak, what it means. In short, which means everything will now be revealed and the plan of God will be made plain to the prophets. And that is what we have been receiving at this end of time, that the seventh trumpet is actually the voice of the tenth trumpet, is the voice of the gospel at the seventh age, the seventh church age. And we are in the seventh church right now. The trumpet has been sounding. The Lord is coming soon. And this is the generation that the seventh trumpet has been going on for years, right? And maybe from the time of the revival of the Pentecostalism, which started in the 20th century, and we are now in the 21st century, until the end of the world. Now we come to, after this, we also saw in chapter 12 how God manifested that as the churches are coming to a fruition, there will be the separation of the man-child that will rule the world with a rod of iron. And that is a church within each other. That is a selected believer that God said we arrive at the fullness of the stature of Christ first, because that is our goal. We are all to strive to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. But there will be a first fruit that we arrive there first, and before the rest, and God will get that first fruit, because in any harvesting there must be first fruit of the harvest that must be given to God. And that also is typified by the man child in the book of Revelation chapter 12 being taken out of the woman clothed with the sun. The woman clothed with the sun is representing the church, the body of Christ worldwide, and the man child will be the anointed group of believers that will arrive at the first fruit level first, and they will be taken to present to heaven as the first fruits of the earth. And they have a work for God in the final analysis. They will be like priests unto God in the heavenlies, overseeing the affairs upon the earth and upon the physical universe. So God had a plan. So what God is doing is this planet Earth is like a garden for God, where God planted seed and he has to harvest the seed. And what seed has God planted? Mankind. And God has planted mankind as the seed of man that he planted upon this planet Earth. And after that is done, he has to harvest this mankind. And the first fruits will be harvested. And we are going into that now. We're going to see the stages of the harvest. And then there will be the general harvest. In the book of Revelation chapter 19, we see that. But along with preparing for the harvest, also is preparing for the judgment of believers, because that also is form of harvesting of the grapes of the earth that will be bundled together for burning, like the Lord Jesus Christ said in his parables. And that will take place for the unbelievers and the kingdoms of this world that will be destroyed. Because after a farmer has gone to the farm and you have harvested your field, what next? You have to prepare that farm for the next thing. Maybe the next thing is another season of harvesting. And so you are going to have to clean up all the weeds and all the tears and all the things that actually produce the harvest for you, but they are now weeds as far as you are concerned. Let's assume you have corn. Then you have the corn stalks that are going to be bundled together along with the tears for burning. But after you have gone, let's say you harvest. So that will take place because God is going to destroy all the ungodliness out of this planet Earth. God will destroy all those that walk iniquity also. They are the tears. And they will be cleaned off this planet Earth for whatever God is going to do next on this planet Earth. And the Bible said in chapter 21, when we get there, we see that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, as we get into chapter 14 of the book of Revelation, we see the harvesting of the earth. And I will start from there again before I go into chapter 15. Because after the chapter 14, like I said, after the harvesting of the earth will be the punishment to begin to wipe out whatever is left on the earth, to clean it up. And here is chapter 14, some parts of chapter 14, because I've already preached on chapter 14 in the earlier broadcast that I have recorded. Okay, let's go to chapter 14 and see verse. Just to repeat what I said about the harvesting of the earth, here is the harvesting. Verse 15. Chapter 14, verse 15. I'll start from verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown. And in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. You see what I say? I said it's harvesting. That is the time for reaping. Say, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now we know exactly who is going to reap, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that said, like a Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is one that's going to harvest the earth. Verse 17. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for our grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, from this second part, we actually know that this is talking about the judgment of the ungodly. Because he said there were grapes that look like, where somebody may say, where we eat grapes? No, he said that these grapes are going to be treaded down, and there will be blood, which is talking of judgment. And we can see that will be the fulfillment of the prophecy that we see in another chapter, where he said the Antichrist gathered the world at Armageddon to wage the last war, where there will be destruction of all the soldiers that came down to Armageddon, because they will see the Son of God, the Messiah, flashing from the sky to destroy them all, like the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19. When we get there, we will see that is when heaven is coming to wage war against the earth. But who is the heaven? The believers, the saints of God, will have been taken with the Lord Jesus Christ, will have come and take them away in the rapture. And then he will come down and say, and all his saints with him, to come and destroy the armies that came against Jerusalem, like the Bible said. Like I have said in some of my earlier podcasts, that Jerusalem, which the Jews, the Israelites, and the Arabs are fighting over, and the United Nations is trying to control, does not belong to any of them. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he is ready, he will come and take possession of his land. And not just Jerusalem, the whole world belongs to him. But he's going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives first. Jerusalem will be where his stepping stone to take it over, to take the whole world over. Now we're going to chapter 15. And this chapter 15 is what we said is the beginning of the cleaning up of the earth. And how will this be taking place? Let's see right here. Verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now let me stop right there. You see, in the first verse, he said, seven angels that have the seven plagues, they appeared in heaven. They have the wrath of God to come and pour it upon their baby. But after you see that, what did you see again? He said, I saw the sea of glass before the throne. And we have seen in the book of Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 6, this sea of glass that was before the throne represented heaven. And the throne of God was set there where the Lamb of God took the book. Okay? Now, when the Bible said these people that have gotten the victory over the beast is the Antichrist, and over all his image, and over the number of his name, which is what will be taking place in the book of Revelation chapter 13, where the Antichrist number the world, and anyone that take the mark of that beast and worship the beast will go into the lake of fire, like the Bible said in chapter 14. Okay, so those who got victory over the Antichrist and over his image, either they were killed or they were translated, raptured away, whatever way they got the victory, are the saints of God. Now they were standing upon the sea of glass, means they were now in the presence of God in heaven. I'm trying to point this one out because there have been many other preachers and even especially the Jehovah Witness, they don't understand this section, and they have, because I've talked many times again to some of those Jehovah Witness, they try to convince us that nobody is going to heaven, and I point to them right here, that this sea of glass was described in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and 5, that it was in the presence of God before the throne. So when these saints that have gotten the victory over the beast now are standing upon the sea of glass, God actually described it to be called the sea of glass, so that we can know that they are actually before the throne of God in heaven. So that sea of glass is representing the presence of God in heaven. So they were no more upon the earth here. Now, why were they suddenly taken away from the earth to heaven? Because the wrath of God is about to be poured upon the earth. So that's why chapter 15 was unique. I want you to understand this. Because when you understand it, you make you to know the love that God has for mankind, for his own people. God loves you so much. That's why he's saying he does not wish that any man should perish. But when you have committed your life into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe him, and you trust in him, he is going to protect and deliver you from the wrath of God. What has been going on upon the world so far and up till that time is still the wrath of the devil. Satan doing all those havoc upon mankind, whether persecution, whether killing people, whether killing Christians, that was still Satan doing those. You may say, well, God could have protected us, but God has said that we lay down our life for his cause, and that glorified God. Actually, you see that in the book of Revelation chapter 5, when the souls that were under the altar were crying unto God and saying, how long, O God, true and faithful, how long before you judge the inhabitants of the earth for our blood? And the Bible said they should wait a little while longer until their their brethren also who will be killed like themselves is fulfilled. So what I'm saying then is everything that is going on upon the earth against believers, persecution, Antichrist marking the world, and those who didn't receive the mark of the beast will be persecuted and arrested and jailed or killed. Those who are still the wrath of the devil, not God. God is standing with his own people, encouraging them to stand and abide and confess Christ till the end. Like Christ said to the churches in the earlier generation, he said, "Be ye faithful even unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." So all of those persecution is trying the faith of the saints, and we are expected to be faithful even unto death, whoever is still around. Now, after all of those has taken place, those who died either they were killed by the Antichrist or by the beast, they were faithful unto death, they have gotten the victory over the beast. Whether they were translated before that time, they have gotten victory over the beast. Whether they died in the hand of the Antichrist, in the hand of the persecutors, the Christians that have been persecuted like that, they have gotten victory over the world and over the beast. And that is the one you see in this chapter, that they were standing before God before the wrath of God is poured upon the earth. So this is another convincing evidence that the saints of God will appear before God begins to judge the earth. God will take them out of this planet. Now these seven angels appear, they have the seven vials of the wrath of God. And in verse 5, let's go now to see after the sins of God have happened. That's why there was an interlude. After the angels appeared, there was an interlude, and God showed to Apostle John the saints that were singing praises of God, because they are now in heaven before these angels go forth to pour their wrath and the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 5, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 5 now. And after that, I looked. After what? After he has seen the saints that sang the songs of Moses and the songs of the Messiah of the Lamb and worshiped God and singing praises of God. After that, I looked, he said, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts guarded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now that is the beginning of the wrath of God being poured upon the earth. Before we go into that chapter 16, let's talk about these seven angels. You see in verse 5 how they were dressed. The Bible said they were clothed in pure and white linen. There's a reason for that. Anyone that is going to judge other people, you better be pure yourself. If you are going to be used to judge anybody, you want to be the judge, you better be pure and just yourself. The Lord God demanded that. And the white linen is representing the righteousness of the saints. We are called to be holy, to be righteous. So before you open your mouth and try to condemn the world or condemn anybody, make sure you are standing right with Christ Jesus. Because that is the ordinance. The Bible has made it plain. It said that, judge not, lest you also be judged. Condemn not, lest you be condemned. You see, with the same measure you meet unto others, it shall be measured back unto you. So that is the Lord's commandment. That's why he has in the church dispensation in our age, God expects that you don't judge anybody, commit all the judgment unto God. But these angels, as you will see in some other chapter later, some saints of God that God has appointed to do this. And God said every saint of God actually have to come up pure and white anyway. So that's why the Bible says we are going to be used to judge angels after we have passed through the blood, after we have been washed and made pure. And my challenge to you today is this: have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and made pure from your sins, that you sin no more, so that you are presented before God as clothed in white linen, clean and white, with golden girdles? And let's go again and see in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Apostle Paul was telling us what type of thing we should put on. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Now let's see the type of garment to put on. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So our loins, the girdle, like you saw in the angels in Jeremiah chapter 15, they have golden girdles. That means the truth that they are carrying is golden. And the apostle Paul is saying, "Have your loins girt about as your breast, your girdle should be truth." The word of God is the truth. "Having on the breastplate of righteousness." And that is our righteous garment, that it says clean and white. Breastplate of righteousness. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the war and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So what are we saying? We are saying that your righteousness must excel and be pure and white before God. And God is calling every one of us saints to that holiness. To that, I say, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. So what I'm pointing out in this book of Revelation chapter 15 here is just to point to the fact that the angels that are going to be used to pour the vials of God upon the earth, they are clothed in white linen, pure and white, which represented the righteousness of saints. And God is pointing that to you and to me, that before you can judge anybody, be pure also yourself. Anyone that has this hope in himself, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So God is calling you unto holiness, unto righteousness, unto purity. Whether you are a young person or an old person, God is calling you unto purity in Christ, following the word of the living God. And God expects that of every one of his own children, pure. He said that, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now you also will see, as you go to the other chapter, you see that one of the angels came to Apostle John. Apostle John, after he showed Apostle John some of the things that are coming to happen, Apostle John would try to worship the angel. The angel said, "Worship me not, worship God." And the angel said, "I'm one of your brethren, the prophets." So that is why I just pointed out to you that when God said these are angels, they are actually going to be, one of the brethren will be used to do some of this. But you've got to be pure and white. God expects you to be pure and white. Be pure and white, that is clothed with righteousness of the saints. Now, what is this chapter trying to tell us? I've said in the first few verses, I said God is showing to us in the chapter 15 that the saints of God, we have that out the victory over the beast and antichrist, will be taken out of the earth to stand before God. There will be the resurrection, those who are dead, and there will be the translation, like Apostle Paul said here. And that is what we see in chapter 15, before the wrath of God begins to pour down upon the earth. And Apostle Paul wrote that one again, and let's read it again, because many congregations don't believe this. Even though they saw it there, they thought perhaps it, some people thought it was already happened, some said it will not happen. Let's see it. Apostle Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, trying to comfort those who are mourning for the dead. Verse 13, he said, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And this message is very useful for we believers at this time, because there will be a lot of persecution. People will be arrested, killed, antichrist marking the world, and those who don't receive the mark because they believe the word of God may be arrested and crucified and persecuted and beheaded for the sake of Christ. And here is what Apostle Paul is saying: in those days Christians will be mourning for many people that are persecuted like that or killed. But Apostle Paul said, "Don't sorrow like the world sorrow, because we have a hope." Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." That is, no matter how they sleep, whether they died by natural cause, or they were crucified, or they were killed by the Antichrist, they will rise again. verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, he said we should comfort one another. That is, there's going to be a glorification of mankind. Some will live, will never die. And we believe that this is our dispensation. This is the generation where we will be alive until that time. And those who are there will be resurrected, caught up together with we that are alive to go and meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. I did not write this. It was written by Apostle Paul. And God didn't tell him that this is wrong. No, it was revealed to him by God that there will be a glorification of mankind at the end of world, at the end of time. And we believe this is the end of time. And this is going to take place. And you can see that in this Thessalonians that we read. And you also see that it the pause that was when the angels appeared in heaven in chapter 15 of Revelation. And then the saints come before the throne of God on the sea of glass. And then after they have manifested on the sea of glass, came the angels out of the temple to begin to go and pour their vows. That shows to us there, and then that there will be an interlude where God will take his saints out of here before the wrath of God is poured upon the earth. Whatever is taking place now is still the wrath of the devil. The world is being plagued by whatever this is still the wrath of the devil. And whatever is going to take place as persecution against the believers is still part of the wrath of the devil. But those that are in Christ, we have overcome the world. Bible says, we, because I overcame, you see, ye have overcome also. But you've got to believe it. And you've got to walk with Jesus Christ the same way. And you've got to look up because your redemption right now. And you've got to begin to look unto him right now. Because the Bible said, as many as look for him, will he appear. Unto them that look for him, will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking up for Jesus? Because this rapture will take place. Those who are there will resurrect and will go to meet Jesus Christ in the air before the wrath of God is poured upon the earth. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking up to this? But you must make yourself pure. Like the Bible said, he that has this hope in himself purifieth himself as he is pure. Cut away all this ungodliness. Set your affection on things above, not on things upon the earth. Let your mind be on Jesus and not on the lot of money and not on politics and not on the things of this world. That's what the Bible said. And let your affection be on things above. The Lord is coming. The bridegroom is coming to take his bride home. Are you one of his bride? If you are not, let me pray for you right now if you want to become one of his bride. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you. I know you are coming soon. I know this is the generation you are coming into. I pray that you will make me to be one of yours. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I sin no more from today. Give me your Holy Spirit. From today, let me sin no more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for them. Let the blood of Jesus Christ avail and atone for their sins right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. And touch them, Lord Jesus Christ. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Write to us and we shall send you some more exhortation. Write to Evangelist Julius Adewumi.
Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA.
On the internet, our web address is www.gospeldistribution.org. Gospeldistribution.org. You can send us email or you can write and we shall send you some more exhortation. God bless you.